From listener-supported KTOO, welcome to Juno Afternoon, broadcasting live from the homelands of the Occoquan and on demand as a podcast. It's Friday, August 23rd, 2024. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Gunath Cheesh, Hawa, Toexik Nusum, Salama. Thank you for joining the conversation. On today's show, it's August. School has started. The kids are back at it. And today, we'll talk with the chief medical officer at Search about helping to keep the kids healthy. Spruce Roots Path to Prosperity program has provided opportunities for locals with a cool business idea with access to resources and capital. Today, we hear about the finalists for this year's program, plus a chat with Holly Rose Adams about how the program helped her with her baby boutique store, and a visit with the National Endowment of the Arts Chair, Maria Rosario Jackson, who is in Juneau as part of a statewide tour of our arts and culture. Those conversations, plus music from Buddy Tabor and more, coming up this hour on Juno Afternoon.
You're listening to KTOO's Tlingit Word of the Week. This week's word comes from Kehinak John Martin, and the word this week is
Tsa'at.
That means devil's club. And here's a sentence. It's like medicine when we see devil's club. Let's hear it again.
Sacht.
Devil's Club. Gunesh Chisht Khune Lance Twitchell, Gold Belt Heritage Foundation, and the University of Alaska Southeast for this audio.
Kehinuk John Martin was Takdain Tan and a child of a Kagwantan man. He is from the Hunakawu, the people of Huna, and was a contributing elder and speaker at many language immersion gatherings in Glacier Bay, Yakutat, and Juneau. He attended boarding school in Xqaqwe, Skagway, and attended Gonzaga University.
Tune in next week for another Tlingit Word of the Week from KTOO.
Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juno with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with cafes and drive-through locations throughout Juno. More at heritagecoffee.com. You're listening to Community Supported Juno Afternoon on KTOO 104.3 Juno, 91.7 Juno Auk Bay, and online at ktoo.org. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. The kids are back in school. There's tons to think about. Their schedules, picking up classes, after-school practices, rehearsals, getting from here to there every day. Parents can be extremely busy juggling their kids' lives along with their own work and play. I'm joined now by Dr. Kate Bewley, Chief Medical Officer for Search, with some information, reminders, and resources. Gunath Cheesh, Ha'igudi, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to have you joining us today. Wasa'iti, how's it going?
It's going excellent. It's slightly sunny in Juneau, so it's a great day to get back to school. Thanks for having us.
Of course. Yeah, I'm happy to have you here. And so I just want to begin with, you know, Search is one of the largest Native-run healthcare organizations in the United States. It's an independent nonprofit health consortium, and you service 27 communities throughout Southeast Alaska. It's a huge organization, and so parents might be at first a little confused of when and where and how do I receive care, or what do I do first? So let's start there. Like, where do we start?
Great. Well, we, like you said, we have clinics everywhere throughout those 27 communities. And so there is a nursing staff, clinical staff, physicians, nurse practitioners, physician assistants. We have them available in all those locations to answer questions for parents about vaccines. And as you probably know, we got a little behind the eight ball after the pandemic and delayed some of our vaccines. So we're still in that catch-up mode. So each clinic will be having flu fairs. That'll be coming down the pipeline to get our flu and also the newest COVID booster that's going to be coming out this fall to work against the latest variant. And we've seen a surge of COVID, as you know, especially in Juneau. So those will be announced, and we have a lot of social media at Search. So we're on Instagram, we're on Facebook, and you'll see announcements about those fairs. But families can call Search at any time to schedule the sports physical or the well child check. So now's the perfect time to come in and get those things done. So we're looking forward to people calling, trying to get caught up on those. We did put out an announcement that you may have seen that the state of Alaska let us know that there is an increase in whooping cough, and that's pertussis. So it kind of cycles every 5 or 6 years, and we're seeing an increase in Alaska this year. So we have more cases this year so far. The last time it's over 170 cases. The last time we had that many cases in Alaska was 2016. And so that's a really important vaccination, because young babies and our elders can get very sick from that bacteria infection. The rest of us just kind of have a bad cold and, you know, sound like a seal, thus the whooping cough. But we really want to protect the whole community. And the best way to do that is for everyone to get their vaccines updated.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you can go to Search, SEARHC.org, and you can find out more information. Of course, get phone numbers and all the different things for your different areas and or the different clinics that might be in your town specifically. So the other question, I'm glad you brought up the whooping cough, because I was going to ask about that, because we're seeing reports about this happening. And I know that is something that then people and parents get a little bit concerned about. So getting those sort of immunizations are important. So one of the other things that I think that happens is when a young parent, let's say somebody's going into, you know, school for the first time, they might have seen a doctor, but I just wanted you to mention, you know, how does one establish sort of that primary care physician, and what does that do for folks to make sure you have that primary person, primary physician for your family?
Well, Boston, you're speaking my language there. So I'm a big advocate that every patient, every baby, every elder, every middle schooler, that they have a primary care provider. And actually a medical home. So behind every primary care provider is a whole team at every clinic in Alaska. But at Search, we like to talk about medical home teams. So each patient, you can actually go to our website. You can sign up to establish at Search and get an appointment. And when you do that, instead of just seeing whoever, we assign you to one provider. And that can be a family physician. We have pediatricians as well in Juneau and Sitka. And that's your primary care provider. And behind them is a nurse, and there's a medical assistant who will be giving you your shots, and someone to answer questions. We're really into using technology to get patients the right care at the right time. So we like patients to use the what's called the portal. So they can use an app and ask questions of their team. And I'd like to just put a push out there too, for the state of Alaska has a really great app to keep track of your vaccines. It's called Docket, D-O-C-K-E-T. And any vaccine you get at Costco, Fred Meyer, Search, Bartlett Hospital, we put it all into the state system. And that state system puts it into that app. And so you have your vaccines at your fingertip. So you'll know, like, oh, I got one. You know, I got my Safeway flu shot this year. I can bring that back to Search and show that I got my flu shot for that year. So it's called Docket, and I really encourage parents to download it, because that allows them to see, like, am I up to date or not? You know, as a parent myself, I have 3 kids. I can't remember which vaccine they got. I need to either ask my healthcare provider myself, or I go to Docket and I can see it now and keep track.
Absolutely. That's so great. And I do want to make a mention here. And I know people may have heard spots or seen, you know, some advertising around town or around your community that, you know, Search, even though it is a Native-run health consortium, it is for all. Anybody is welcome to use Search and take their family there.
That's correct. It's been that way for many, many years in most of our outlying communities outside of Juneau. So there's only one clinic in a lot of our villages, and that's a Search clinic for which we get funding for that. And now we've expanded in Juneau as well, that we're open to everyone, Alaska Native, American Indian, or anybody who's non-Native. Anybody can come to our clinic and get the care that they need. And we have a board of directors that are our tribal representatives, and they really see it that it's culturally appropriate to take care of everybody in the community and make sure that we're all healthy.
I love that. Now, I know that I think one of the things that parents are most afraid of is their kids getting sick. and I'm wondering if there are some things to be on the lookout for in terms of catching any health issues early on, signs that maybe you should take the kid to the doctor. Is there things that parents could be looking for? I know that's a very general question, but I mean, there's so many things.
Yeah, that's a good question. So, and it's really important right now because, you know, we've been out, we've been fishing, we've been hiking, we're out in the open space where there's lots of room. And now we're all going to come inside and be in enclosed spaces together. And that's why it's so important to get your vaccines updated right away, because that's how we pass viruses and bacteria. So I think it's really important that that we still, in terms of preventing, I'll talk about prevention, and then I'll talk about you know, what to look for in terms of signs. But in terms of preventing, is making sure we're telling our kids how to you know, do a great job washing their hands, you know, sneezing in their elbow, not in their hands, and then giving their friends a big high five. You know, having the hand sanitizer available for the older students, that they can use that, or wipes. I know a lot of the teachers are always wiping everything down to make sure that everything's clean. And then in terms of watching for the symptoms, so a lot of it's very tricky, because a lot of people will say, oh, I've got allergies. I think my allergies are acting up. I'm just starting to get a stuffy nose or a scratchy throat. Sometimes it is allergies, but sometimes it is the start of the flu and also the start of COVID. So just paying attention to your kids when they're like, oh, I have a sore throat, starting to get a runny nose. Obviously, fever is something to keep your child home for. And we have urgent cares that are open 8 a.m. to 8 p.m., 7 days a week, and we can easily test for those viruses. But, you know, really gone are the days when you might think your kid feels warm and you're going to give them a Tylenol and send them to school. We, you know, you don't do that anymore. You need to pay attention to their symptoms and bring them in and let us check them out and make sure they're doing okay.
Got it. And is there anything, I know we talked a lot about sort of immunization. Is there anything people need to be aware of in terms of that, in terms of scheduling that, or is there a schedule you can look at and like to know what you're supposed to do when?
Yeah, there is. So on, again, the Docket app, that will tell you. And then I like to use, the state of Alaska has a really nice website that has a schedule. And we really are focusing on 3 years and older. They have regular vaccines. And then our adolescents, that's when they start needing to get their boosters for some of those vaccines that they got as a kid. So we have those available. It's available on the State of Alaska website as well. And again, on the Docket app. So that'll tell you what you're due for. We also, if you're a patient at Search, we send out campaigns using texting. So you can also make an appointment through using a texting app that we have. But we'll, so right now we're discussing sending one out that says, hey, your kid is due for pertussis vaccine. you know, text us right back or give us a call, and it's time for you to come in and get that vaccine.
I love that. Okay, thank you. Well, Dr. Bewley, thank you so much. Is there anything that we have? I love that the additional resources, the Docket app, I hadn't heard of that before. I think that's a great thing. Obviously, getting those schedules for your kids and knowing all of that, knowing you can go to search to get that information as well. I think that's really wonderful. And I'm going to give the website one more time, search.org, searhc.org. Is there anything else that, or a resource or a website that you want to direct parents to?
I don't think, no other websites, but I would just say that a lot of high schoolers are coming in for their sports physical. That's a perfect time. We can get vaccines at sports physical. And if for some reason you can't get into the provider that you want to see, you can actually do a nurse visit to get caught up on vaccines. So you can just say, hey, I just want to get the vaccines. Can I see the nurse visit? And, you know, I'll see Dr. Bewley in a month since I can't see her today. So there's just lots of ways to access the vaccines that we have. So thank you for having us today.
Of course. Gwyneth Cheese, for being here. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
Have a wonderful fall.
Thank you. I will.
Okay. Bye-bye. Okay, up next, Spruce Roots Path to Prosperity program. But first, some featured music off of Buddy Tabor's album, Hope, The First Step Towards Disillusionment. Available today on streaming platforms. It's all part of the Buddy Tabor Project, who are working to get the legendary Juno musician's music online to be discovered by new listeners. For more, you can visit buddytabor.com. This is The Way You Do from Hope, and you are listening to Juno Afternoon on KTOO.
That man of love in the first degree. Tell me something, baby, what you want me to do? About in the world ever do me the way that you do? Jump through the keyhole in your front door. Here I am, baby, I want a little bit more. Tell me something, baby, tell me what you want me to do? About in the world.
You're listening to Juno Afternoon from Studio 2K at KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Spruce Root is a nonprofit native community development financial institution, or a CDFI. Their goal is to foster a regenerative economy across Southeast Alaska. And of course, you can find out more at spruceroot.com. www.pathtoprosperity.org. One of their programs is called Path to Prosperity, and I'm joined by Izzy Haywood from Spruce Root and Holly Rose Adams, who went through the program with her business, Muskeg Munchkins Baby Boutique. Gunnith Chi Shat Ye Adi, thank you so much for being here today. It's a pleasure to talk with you. And Wasa Iti, how's it going?
Good.
Good, okay.
Yeah, it's a beautiful
day. It is a beautiful day. Izzy, how are you?
I'm doing well. I'm happy to be here.
Okay, good. And I know we're going to get to the Muskeg Munchkins Baby Boutique, which just like you sort of officially launched earlier this month. So we'll get to that in just a few minutes. But first, Izzy, I wanted you to give us an overview of this specific program, Path to Prosperity, because I know Spruce Root does a lot of different things, but this is a specific program that's been going on for a number of years now. So can you give us an overview?
Yeah, totally. So yeah, Spruce Root, we've been running the Path to Prosperity business competition for 12 years now. This is the 12th year of the program. And so it started kind of right when Spruce Root started. And it's basically a program that takes entrepreneurs who either have an idea for a business or an existing business that they want to expand through this process of learning business planning, learning financials, learning pitching, networking with one another, meeting with experts and mentors, so that they, you know, go from that feeling of like having a great idea but not sure what's next to feeling like they have what they need to succeed and they know what the next step is to get there.
Nice.
Might not always be quite so simple, but
right.
Yeah, really love being with entrepreneurs through that journey that they go through.
And I know part of that is an in-person intensive that happens in September. And that's coming up in middle of September. And I guess what we need to say is that you have the finalists for this year. And so can we talk about a couple of those, of who's in the program this year?
Totally. And this is hot news because they just came out today officially.
Hot drops right here on Juno Afternoon.
Hot drops right here. Yeah. So we have 12 finalists who are going to be joining us in Juno next month for 3 days of intensive business training. They are Natural Connections, run by Diana Portner in Juneau, Alpine Physical Therapy, run by Jessica Hyatt in Sitka, Southeast Sparks, run by Benjamin Matthews in Sitka, Triple S Ranch, run by Don Sheets in Naugatuck Bay, Sitkana, run by Lance McMullen in Juneau, Alaska Souls, run by Rain Pavic in Yakutat, Taylor to You Art, run by Yvette Taylor in Milwaukee, Miner's Gold, run by Rayanne Miner in Haines, Pure Alaskan Water, run by Lonnie Guthrie in Ketchikan, Kilcat Valley News, run by Rasha McChesney in Haines and Clukwan, Wild Fish Cannery, run by Aurora Owen and Matthew Scaletta in Lawak, and Malonista Catering, run by Travis Google in Haines. So
what
those are our 12 finalists.
What a collective. Wow, that's awesome. Of course, some people might remember Rasha McChesney. That's the first time I've heard that she's part of this program. She used to work here at KTOO, and now she runs the newspaper there. So that's really awesome news for her. So go Rasha and all the other folks who are part of that. So now this year, the program is set for these 12 finalists. But those who might be interested in doing this program, when is the application period? When should they start looking at spruceroot.org to apply?
Yeah, so we'll open applications again next spring, usually April or May. So that's when we'll open applications. In case you're someone listening with a business idea and you don't want to wait till May to do a program like this, we do have tons of other workshops and business coaching, financial coaching, career coaching, an online business workshop on our website.
Absolutely. Okay, that is so cool. And before I'm going to start talking to Holly here in a second, but what happens at the intensive that takes place here in Juneau?
Yeah, so it is 3 very full days and evenings, really designed to help entrepreneurs get to that next step in their idea. And so we start out with welcoming, networking, really getting to know one another. We bring in at least 20 different mentors and experts from Juneau, and then Zoom some in as well, who are specialists in HR, marketing, finances, pitching, angel investing, all sorts of things. And Really just, it's a lot of work, but we find that people who've gone through that program are very glad that they took that time away to do so.
It's like a crash course in running your business. So congratulations to all those finalists that Izzy mentioned. That's really exciting news. Now, I want to turn to Holly Rose Adams, who is from Muskeg Munchkins Baby Boutique. It's out in the Mendenhall Mall. And so how did you first hear about the program, the Path to Prosperity?
Well, I am from here in Juneau, and so I've known about Spruce Root for a number of years and had been interested in working with them and been interested in starting a business. So I don't know how I first heard about them. I've just known about them and have been really interested in them for a long time and just think they're a really great organization.
I see. Okay. So why did you want to be a part of this program, the Path to Prosperity?
Well, so I had a business idea. So when I was pregnant, I found that there was really limited resources in town for babies and pregnant people and new mothers. And so I came up with the idea to start a baby boutique. And I was completely new at all of this. And so I applied to be in the program and went through the course.
Okay.
Yeah. So I went through the course and completed my business plan and learned a ton along the way. And then, I was a winner of the Path to Prosperity Award. And I also have received a loan through Spruce Root as well, which is another really great resource that they offer.
Yeah. Okay. So you went through the program. Do you remember the intensive that Izzy was just telling us about, the 3 days?
So when I went through the course, it was all online.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I think maybe due to COVID, they switched it for a few years.
Yeah. So what year did you go through the program?
So I went through in 2023.
Okay.
Yeah. In the fall time.
Okay.
And then our business plan was due in January of this year.
Okay.
And then I found out in April that I was a winner of the grant through Spruce Root.
That's so amazing. And what is the award that you get from the Path to Prosperity? Is it money?
It is, yeah. Okay. So it's $20,000 you get to use towards your business, but there are certain things that you are allowed to use it towards. And so I've used it for creating a logo for some of the fixtures in my store, for inventory, and so a variety of different things. But just, you know, there's so many different entrepreneurs that go through this program and all different kinds of businesses. So, you know, it just depends on your business what you would use those funds for.
I love that. And what were your sort of top couple takeaways from going through this program? Was it learning how to create that business plan? Was it marketing or?
Everything. It's hard to say. Yeah, a lot, because I really came into this not knowing anything about running a business. And so I've really learned a lot. And, I met also with business coaches along the way, which has also been extremely helpful, which they offer to any business. You don't have to be in the program to utilize that resource as well. And so that has also just been, incredibly helpful, just having the business coaching along the way too.
So you really went from idea to having a store in the Mendenhall Mall.
Yes. Yeah.
In like a year.
Yes.
Wow. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah. It was a lot of work. It was a lot of work.
I'm sure it still is a lot of work.
It is. Yeah. And, I also went through there. They offer another course on finances. And I went through that as well and also learned a lot in that course. And so I've learned about marketing and finances, creating my business plan. You know, I talked to also a lot of other businesses, retail businesses along the way. So,
wow. Yeah. Okay. So this is my question for you. Now that you launched in early August this mm-hmm. month mm-hmm. At the mall, and I'm sure you have all your inventory and you have all these things and you're highlighting certain projects and you've gone through all of this. Now that it's open, and maybe there isn't enough experience on the day-to-day yet, but I'm just curious, like, what's the biggest joy of having this business?
So one thing is, part of my business is I'm trying to have as many locally made products as I can. And so I get to work with a lot of other Alaskan entrepreneurs, and a lot of them are also mothers. And so that has been really fun, and I really loved it. And I feel like there's also just so many Alaskan moms who make things. I think, you know, mothers in general really love creating things for their children. And I think Alaskans are also just very, you know, creative in that way as well. And so there's just so many Alaskan moms, and it's been such a joy working with them.
I love that. Yeah. And so at the Baby Boutique, is it everything for what ages can I find stuff for at the Baby Boutique, and what kinds of things will I find?
So right now I'm going between newborn and about 3T. Okay. And I think I will eventually get more clothing sizes. But that's where I'm at right now. And I also have products for pregnancy, postpartum, and breastfeeding. And I'm also looking to grow in those areas as well. But I have a variety of different things, carriers, baby food, you know, clothing, booties, lots of little cute gifts as well. And yeah, a lot of people come in and just tell me how cute everything is. So, and it's very fun to come shop for babies.
I love that. That is so good. So, well, congratulations on that.
Thank you.
All best in your success. And you've picked a pretty good market, because there's always babies, yeah. Right? There's always kids. And so, Izzy, one last question for you is, so Holly mentioned sort of going through the program and then being awarded. Is it something that the 12 finalists, and finalists sounds like then there is a prize at the end. So is that how it works? There's a few that are chosen, or just one? Or how does that, what do you, I don't want to say win, I guess, where do you award it, I guess, if you make it through the program?
A great question. Yeah, so we have our round one applications open. That's the first step. We had 80 people apply, which was our most competitive year ever, from 16 communities across Southeast. We have an independent panel of 3 judges that then selects 12 of them to move into round 2 of the competition, which means they go to that in-person intensive next month. And then after that, they submit a business plan, 3-year financial projections, and a 90-second pitch video, which are judged by another panel of judges. And then we have 2 winners get awarded $20,000.
Wow.
Yeah, so that is the award. We've also had some entrepreneurs say that the training is the award itself, since you know, they just get so many resources and
yeah.
so much support during that. But
oh,
yeah.
That's so good. That's really fantastic. Well, it's the Path to Prosperity program. It's from spruceroot.org. Look out for it. They have many other programs. If you're Southeast and you're looking for some help with your business, it's one of the best resources that you can find. They offer loans. As Holly mentioned, she got a loan from them. Other programs, you can meet with small business development folks who can run you through some stuff. You don't even have to be part of this program. There's just a ton of resources available. So like Holly, if you have an idea, you can make it happen. Right? I think that's the beauty of this story. You have a wonderful story, Holly, and I'm really happy for you and your business.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. So, gonna cheese to you both for coming in today. I really appreciate it.
Go visit Muskeg Munchkins.
Muskeg Munchkins in the Mendenhall Mall. I love that because it's like 4 M's all together. Appreciate you. Okay, bye-bye. KTOO would like to acknowledge that we broadcast from the homelands of the Occoquan. The Clan AD have stewarded this area for thousands of years. Today, our studios sit on a spot once part of the tidelands, now covered over with buildings, roads, and parking lots. We recognize those families who traveled to and from these tidelands to fishing and hunting grounds and to gatherings in other villages and still cherish it as an important part of their way of life for today and for future generations.
Hanson Gress, Ka eat with the shoe ye, we kashuk a ye tin. Jin kat ka ke jin ta khanakaya ha anikak gunish cheesh.
This is Juno Afternoon from your listener-supported public media station, KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Earlier today, I had a chance to talk with the National Endowment for the Arts Chair, Dr. Maria Rosario Jackson. She's in town and been around the state, and here's that interview from just a little bit earlier this afternoon. After more than 25 years working on understanding and elevating arts, culture, and design as critical elements for healthy communities, Dr. Maria Rosario Jackson was appointed the 13th chair of the National Endowment for the Arts in January of 2022. For the past several days, she and her team have been making their way across Alaska. Chair Jackson is in Juneau today and has already taken a walk along the Kutia Deyi, the new totem pole trail in downtown Juneau, and she's meeting with arts groups leaders and others at the Juneau Arts and Culture Center this afternoon. And she joins me in Studio 2K, dedicated to Carolyn Hobbs Peterson, right now. Gunath Chish, Ha'i Gudi, thank you so much for being here. It's a pleasure to meet you. Wasi'iati, how's it going?
Well, thank you for inviting me to have this conversation with you. It is an honor to be with you.
It's great to have you. So what a whirlwind. You've been making your way around Alaska in just a few days from Anchorage to Bethel and now Juneau. So what brought you to Alaska and how has the experience been so far?
Oh, it's been a fantastic experience. It's a big, beautiful place and it's humbling to be here. One can be in awe and wonder on so many fronts.
Yeah.
What brought us here is the desire to be proximate to the work that we support through the Arts Endowment. We've funded some things in Alaska and hope to do more and want to understand the terrain and want to understand how things work here because they're a little different than other places just because of the vastness and the different cultures here and the range of cultural expression and creative expression and artworks. So understanding how artists and arts organizations are able to do what they do mm-hmm. Is really important to us because our job is to help enable that and bolster local efforts to do that. So we're really interested in having a better sense of how things work here, how that has implications for how we show up as a national organization that is supposed to serve. Mm. So being able to understand how it's worked and how we can do that better is part of the work. We're eager to understand what kinds of challenges people are facing here, what kinds of opportunities they see, and also want to learn what's happening in Alaska where Alaska's leading and other people around the country need to know what's happening here because it's interesting or it's innovative or it's an important new way of working or old way of working. But we're also eager to lift up important practices, concepts, good ideas that others should know about.
Mm, that's exciting. And I know getting to be in South Central and then up north and then now in Southeast, I mean, you've already seen similarities, but many differences between all of the different culture and art that the state of Alaska, it's a big place.
Yes, it is.
So I'm just curious too, This has been, so you're about to enter your third year of being the chair of the National Endowment for the Arts. What has the surprise, the biggest surprise been in your first couple years doing this work?
The biggest surprise? You know, it's a good question. I'm not sure if it's quite a surprise, but it is something that gets my attention and that I'm happy about. And that is that I think that there is something in the air that is helping us to understand the importance of the arts in a much more holistic way. So typically, my experience is that policy arguments for the arts have been largely driven by economic development arguments. And I think that those are important. Increasingly, though, I think there's also an appreciation for the role of the arts and how it is so important for our health and wellness. Mm. And that's something that I've been tracking for a while. And in my position as chair, some of the work that I've been doing is advancing the concept of how we all should have the ability to lead artful lives. Mm. And that's an elastic concept intentionally, that it includes, you know, participation as museum goers and concert audience and seeing theater and all of the things that have to do with how we typically think about arts participation, which is sort of consumptive. Mm. And really importantly, I think it also has to do with generative practice and active arts engagement, making, doing, teaching, learning. All of those different ways of participating and how that has important impacts on our health and well-being as individuals, as families, as communities, as a nation. So seeing that that has resonance with people as I talk to them, and even here in the last few days, as I've been talking with people about the role of the arts in their lives, the concept of healing comes up over and over.
Oh, that's huge here in Alaska,
yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, some of the work that we saw is connected to a long-time partnership that we've had with the Department of Defense and Veterans Affairs, so Creative Forces. Mm. And this is a program that's focused on military personnel recovering from traumatic brain injury and post-traumatic stress. And part of the care related to that is some work that we've invested in, which is creative arts therapy. So hearing and learning from them about what it's meant to be able to participate in that way has been very affirming. And similarly, when we think about other contexts where there is different kind of trauma, as is the case in many indigenous communities and native communities, where historically there's been a repression of practices that are artistic, creative, and cultural that are specific to the different cultures, to the different groups. And now there is this really wonderful work that is about reclamation, mm-hmm. reclamation of language, reclamation of ceremonial practices, reclamation of all kinds of expressive and artistic activity that is beautiful to see.
I love that. And I think learning from the indigenous cultures in terms of how art is deeply ingrained in their everyday life.
Yes.
And it's part of what their experience is. And that's fantastic that you're sort of weaving those things in. It's not just a consumptive practice.
No, you know? No, it isn't. And yeah. Some of the things that we're trying to do at the Arts Endowment are very much, I think, inspired by that worldview, that is, that the arts should be laced through our everyday lived experience in order to thrive. And that requires, from an administrative and governmental perspective, I think working not in a silo, but working with other federal agencies and other partners that could help us make sure that the arts show up in all kinds of ways. So whether it is in public art related to physical infrastructure investments that have to do with transportation or other kinds of building, the built environment, or whether it is woven into how we think about health and wellness. We have some really interesting relationships with the Department of Health and Human Services. I'm very excited about that. We have a collaboration with the Environmental Protection Agency, focusing on climate change and environmental issues, water issues specifically, and are very excited about an artist-in-residence program that is growing there, where we'll be able to benefit from what artists have to offer to help us get unstuck.
I love that. Now, I know that right now the NEA is not lucky, I guess, but it's the highest appropriation amount that's been, for the NEA, $207 million for the last couple of years, and from its low dip down to under $100 million back in the late 90s and such. So that's really great to see. But I know that as many arts and humanities groups know, funding of the arts is always a challenge. And so what is, just for those folks, what is the National Endowment for the Arts' role in alleviating some of those challenges?
So, yeah, the National Endowment for the Arts, as an independent federal agency, we are nonpartisan, and we're not allowed to advocate. So we can't lobby or advocate or do that kind of work. That's left to others. I think, though, that the Arts Endowment does have the obligation to educate. And part of what we do is make sure that our that the Congress is well informed about the benefits of the arts and how it benefits people in all congressional districts throughout the United States. We want to make sure that people understand the value of arts education, the value of the arts as it relates to health and healing and aging, and all aspects of one's lifespan. So there is an opportunity for us to showcase some of the work that we've invested in, some of the work that we're conducting in partnership with folks at the local level or other federal agencies. We really can use our federal platform to lift up an awareness of how the arts matter in ways that sometimes people either take for granted or don't see. I think part of our role is to help people see those things. So that's sort of an answer to your question.
I love it. And I know that your background is so interesting. You've had arts weaving throughout your life, but you have a doctorate in urban planning. And I know that it's interesting because many of the past NEA chairs had backgrounds as authors or theater producers or musicians and things like that. But with your doctorate in urban planning, and you also worked at the Urban Institute in Washington, D.C., which was a national public policy research organization, big long name. How does that past work in urban planning sort of provide new and interesting insights in your role as the chair of the National Endowment for the Arts?
Yeah, I think that the training and commitment to building healthy communities where people can thrive, I think it's incomplete if we don't understand the arts and our cultural lives as part of the recipe, the formula, the different components that we have to consider seriously when we're thinking about what does a healthy community need, what does it require. So I think my perspective that the arts should be integrated into all facets of our lives is very much connected to that urban planning training where, you know, for decades I've been looking at what are the comprehensive strategies that allow us to improve communities in holistic ways.
Yeah.
And I'm a firm believer that so many of the things that we say we aspire to as a nation of opportunity and justice are just not possible without the integration of arts, culture, and design in how we think of the places where we live and thrive. And if there are many ways to think about how the arts matter, how artists can contribute, how participation in creative expression, sometimes collective creative expression, can even be thought of as a civic practice. I think that there, you know, there's lots of ways to talk about that, but there's a really fundamental truth that I think undergirds a lot, and it is that through the arts, we're able to express our full humanity and hopefully see the humanity of others, understand our commonalities and also our meaningful differences. And if we can't do that, we can't do anything else. We can't be a society that cares for each other. So there's something really fundamental about having that creative part of our lives be robust and tended to, because it makes a lot of other things possible.
I love that. I think it's great to have sort of, it's almost reminding me of something like you hear in a workplace or cross-departmental collaboration, right? Having somebody who has a background like you do, being able to bring that insight into the arts world, but also knowing a lot about the arts and bringing that into the urban planning world, into the community world. I think that's really great. So one last question for you. As I know you're going about your day here in Juneau, it's really great that you've been able to take some time. Alaska is known for its culture and its food, and we've been talking about culture, but have you been able to experience some yummy dishes on this trip?
Oh, God, yes. And I think food is part of an artful life.
Yeah. It's
really
very
do.
Artful to make it, for sure,
I
right?
really
yeah.
do. It's yeah. it's artful to make it, to present it, and to experience it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been a wonderful culinary experience going through
Alaska. What have you had? I'm curious.
We had halibut.
Mm-hmm.
What else did I have? Halibut, we had salmon, of course.
Of course.
Various berry treats.
Okay, yeah.
So some good desserts.
Yeah.
Berry desserts. Some birch candy.
Okay.
Which was very delicious. I'm trying to think, what else have we had? I had some cider that was very good. May have been local, like yeah. a local brewery, I guess.
Oh, yeah. We have a lot of those now. Yeah,
had some of that. But it's been delicious.
Well, that's fantastic. I'm glad you've been able to experience all of that culture and all that food. And I know this is your last day in town. And we really appreciate you being here. Gunith Cheesh, it's such a pleasure to meet you.
Likewise. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Close out the show today with a little bit more music from Buddy Tabor's Hope, The First Step Toward Disillusionment. It's available today on streaming platforms. It's all part of the Buddy Tabor Project, who are working to get the legendary Juno musician's music online to be discovered by new listeners. And you can find out more at buddytabor.com. Juno Afternoon airs Wednesday through Friday at 3 p.m. right here on KTO Juno 104.3 and KAUK Juno Auk Bay 91.7. Find the show online at ktoo.org/JunoAfternoon, where you can listen to episodes, subscribe to the podcast, or find out how to be a guest on the show. Our theme music is by Indian Agent. Juno Afternoon is a project of the KTOO Arts and Culture team. I'm Boston Christopher, producer and host of the program, with help today from Lisa Purvis. Thanks, and have a fantastic Juno weekend. This is a little bit of Wait For Me from Buddy Tabor's album Hope. Thank you.
changing. Nothing's moving except that river as she rolls on to the sea. Nothing's changing, nothing's moving, and I wonder if you ever think of me. Wait for me when the darkness is calling and the night takes the light from the day. Wait for me if I've stumbled or fallen. Wait for me if I lose my way. There's so much that we have forgotten. There's so much we've lost on our way. And all the things we once held as golden in our hands now has rusted and decayed. Wait for me when the darkness is calling and the night takes the light from the day. Wait for me if I've stumbled or fallen. Wait for me if I lose my way. When at last this mystery's unraveled and I stand by the warmth of love's flame and the clouds of confusion are parted and I hear someone calling my name. Wait for me when the darkness is calling and the night takes the light from the day. Wait for me if I've stumbled or fallen. Wait for me.